Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Healthy Explosion Show, your best source for holistic health and wellness, with host, board-certified nutrition and wellness practitioner, Martina DeGoot, and co-host, Kimberly Britt. Together with expert guests, they bring you the very best in holistic health and wellness. Your comments and feedback are important to us. To speak to the host, call 914-338-0741. That's 914-338-0741. Now here is Martina DeGoot.
Hello, welcome to another episode of the Healthy Explosion Show. Today's show is coming to you live from London and New York. I'm your host, Martina DeGoot, with co-host Kimberly Britt. Kimberly, how are you today, and how's New York City?
I'm great. It's a great day in New York. We've got some good weather, a little overcast, but I think it's going to be a nice day, so we're really excited.
Awesome. Well, let's see. It's overcast here. The weather, as you know, London weather is a little unpredictable, so it could be nice 1 minute and then cool the next. But it's not raining, and it's just a little overcast, so that's great. It's been interesting doing the show this last several weeks because we are both in different locations.
Yeah.
Traveling, so... thank God for technology, right?
Exactly.
just want to say, please be advised that the topics discussed on our show are not intended as a substitute for regular medical care, so always, always consult your physician or healthcare provider before changing your diet or exercise routine. And definitely, if you're on prescription drugs, do not stop without recommendations from your healthcare provider. Kimberly, I really like our topic for today because it's something I think that we can all relate to, it, which is craving for change, the ins and out of emotional eating. Would you agree?
Yeah, I mean, statistically, it's a huge factor. It's been proven in people who overeat, emotions play a big role. And, you know, we all have obviously battles with stress, and our emotions are always going to be constantly affecting our decisions. So it's really important to understand how that's affecting our food choices. I think a lot of more people with, you know, than they even would understand are affected by it. So the show is really important. I'm excited.
Yeah, so am I. And I know you have, on the other end, you've done some research that you, I know you're going to share with us. So tell me, I know you mentioned that I think it's, is it 75%? It's 75%. Hold on, I'm trying to find. Okay. Jump in. I'm not finding that information here. 75% of cravings.
Yeah. It's caused by emotional, some kind of emotional disturbance.
Emotional, exactly, exactly. So have you, why don't you just, why don't we just put it, I guess, questions out to the audience. Have you tried and tried only to fail at overcoming food cravings, or do you find yourself reaching for particular foods when you're stressed, tired, sad, or lonely? Do you find yourself mindlessly eating out of boredom or even after you are already full? So if any of us can answer yes to any of the questions, then definitely the show is for us. Kimberly, is this something you have experienced? I know I have.
Yeah, I think it's, I mean, I think it's something that probably everyone can, just because in today's society, food is around and in abundance, you know, all the time, all hours of the night. And, you know, for me, I'm kind of, I just graduated undergraduate at college, like between three and four years ago. And, you know, I know it's something that I even dealt with in college. You come home late and maybe you've been out, you know, with some friends, you know, and, you know, what's open late? Pizza places and everything else, and you're tired, and, you know, you're maybe not in the best frame of mind, and you make food choices you wouldn't normally make. But I think for some people, even it's a big factor in their overall weight and their inability to lose weight, and it's something that they feel like they're not in control. I've never really felt like I wasn't in control, like consistently, but I know that it's not uncommon for people to feel like, oh, okay, I can make these great decisions during the day, and then when I get home from work, for example, and I'm tired, I just lose self-control and I kind of eat whatever I want to and then go to bed and I just say I'll start fresh the next day. But the cycle kind of repeats and repeats. And it's important to understand what is causing this, you know, what is causing this need to, you know, this craving, this hole we feel like we need to fill, you know, fill. There's reasons behind it.
Yeah, there most definitely is. And Kimberly, I think we should look closer at the relationship between sugar and food cravings as well as addiction. I know, you know, this is research I've done before, and I've even experienced some of this myself, but sugar can actually cause an increase in the delta, alpha, and theta brain waves, which can alter the mind's ability to think clearly. It also causes depression, and it can also lead to alcoholism. And I think you and I were discussing that a while ago, that if someone, it's very easy for someone to become addicted to even drugs, or, you know, and alcohol, if they're really big sugar eat, you know, they eat a lot of sweets, because it has that addictive, I don't know, it's quality about it.
Yeah, and definitely.
We were sharing earlier that, you know, here I'm in London right now, and, of course, the foods are different. Must say that they have a lot of healthy foods here. You can find it different places. But, you know, when you go out and you're with family and friends, you're eating, you may be tasting something that you don't normally taste. I find myself, if it's something that is may have a little sweet to it, it's like you eat it and there's this aftertaste in my mouth, and it almost makes you feel as though you could have another piece, because it's addictive. And I think that's how a lot of people get into problems. So it's interesting that, you know, decided to do this show, because I'm experiencing this right now. And, you know, you were saying that you're also, you know, you experience that yourself, and I think everybody does. So what are some of the most recent things that you're experiencing, because you're traveling right now too?
Oh, I know. Yeah, it's so hard. I mean, for example, today even, I didn't mention this to you earlier, but, you know, it's my brother's graduation. We're in New York City, and we've got this big dinner planned afterwards, and my brother's favorite food happens to be Italian. And, you know, whenever you go to, there are healthy options at Italian places, but the place we are going to for dinner afterwards, it's family style. So I know that I'm not going to be in complete control of what I specifically can order. It's kind of going to be a big group decision. And this place is known for their lasagna and chicken parm. And I happen to be allergic to gluten, and I've cut gluten out of my life for a long time. So that's a perfect example of how you could even feel in control of your food choices, but you're faced with situations in life in general where you're just not going to be in control. And that's okay too, because life is about balance. I truly believe that. And you can't stress about every single thing. But I kind of already know that for some people going into, like, for example, this dinner I have to go to tonight, it could be a spark for then an entire night's worth of just eating, you know, making poor choices. And you just kind of, I feel like there's an attitude some people have, well, oh, I've already done this, so it's like, this day's wiped, I might as well just eat whatever I want for the rest of the day. Like, they kind of just think, I've already done this and that, so this day is off, I'll just do whatever for the rest of the day, I'll eat anything, and I'll just start fresh tomorrow. But I think that's kind of a dangerous mindset. Like, life is not black and white like that, you know what I mean? Like, you can't just say, oh, wipe this whole day. Exactly, you kind of have to go with, you know, there's going to be ebbs and flows in your healthy eating, but you have to kind of have a very healthy and balanced attitude towards food, I think, to be able to handle those situations appropriately. And it's difficult to have that, especially in today's day and age, for sure.
Yes, it is. You know, earlier this week, we, you know, actually went out to, it was a family birthday party, and it was at a restaurant. It was like a birthday celebration at the restaurant. And I looked at the menu, and the first thing that I checked for is what's on this menu that I'm able to eat. So I saw this really good-looking salad. It was spinach salad with dried tomatoes, sun-dried tomatoes, and they had avocado and artichoke. However, I'm allergic to artichoke, so I asked them to remove that. And the other was mozzarella cheese, but I don't eat cheese, that type of cheese. So that was removed. So they substituted additional avocado. And it was a really good salad. It was
sounds good.
You know, just eating it. And there was a nice, it was like some type of the balsamic vinegar, but it had a really nice flavor to it, and it was really, really good. So I found myself, you know, really filling up on that salad, and then they had another side, which was squash. Butternut squash, and it was a butternut squash salad, which was also very good. So I was able to find some things to eat, which made the evening a lot better. But there are times when you don't have those choices. I just wanted to share that because, you know, if you're out and you're faced with what to eat, you know, just look at things that are not going to cause your blood sugar to rise and you know, just have you, you know, loading up on a lot of carbs. But Kimberly, it may be a little difficult because, you know, when you eat Italian and not
yeah,
Italian,
and it's
food,
family style.
It is, but it's kind of hard.
I know. Me and my boyfriend's also gluten-free. He's here with me, and we've kind of been joking about it the whole way down, like driving down, just we're going to have to, you know, just do the best we can.
Yes.
But it's also something I just don't want to be thinking about. Sometimes you just want to enjoy being with your family, and, you know, sometimes
yeah.
you kind of have to say, c'est la vie, and that's that. But on a daily basis, I should say, you know, when we do have to eat out, when we're traveling or when we want to eat out, I'm not afraid to tell the waiter exactly how I want my meal, you know. And I think that that's a big point. I think people sometimes, they don't want to seem too needy or maybe too shy to speak up. But it's like you're paying for this meal, first of all, so you should get it how you want it. And it's your body. This is your health. And if it's something that you even think is even worse, going to maybe set you off on now a spree of kind of just making poor food choices for the rest of the day or whatever, then you definitely want to make sure, if you know you're that kind of person, don't be afraid to order it, you know, dressing on the side or substitute whatever you want. I feel like restaurants, especially nowadays with all that's becoming known about food allergies, they know
right.
that there are people out there that are going to change, you know, that's what they're there for. So speak up and let them know what you want. You know, it's your body. You should know what's going in it, you know.
Most definitely. And just to piggyback off what you just said, that's exactly what I did earlier this week. I, you know, shared with the you know, the server, I'm allergic to this because I'm, you know, the artichoke I couldn't have. So I asked them to remove it, as well as the Parmesan cheese. And they are considerate of that. And if you find you are dining somewhere and they're not really accommodating, then maybe you should make a change. You know, go to another restaurant where, you know, they are accommodating, because that's what keeps customers coming back. If you're able to accommodate, you know, people with various health concerns and, you know, dietetic concerns, happy, then they'll come back. So I would go back to the restaurant because the salad, number one, was very good. And they went, you know, took the time and actually prepared it, gave me additional avocado, and it was filling, because, you know, avocado is very good, you know, so I actually loaded up on good fats and the balance with the fresh spinach, and that was very, very good. Now, in terms of In terms of overeating,
mm-hmm.
and when I say overeating, because usually when you're feeling having these cravings, it will cause you to overeat because you know you're just not aware. You may not overeat in one setting, but you're overeating, you know, by having food every maybe 30 minutes, 40 minutes. Or even sometimes, have you noticed though when you open a bag of chips, and you can't just have four. It's a serving size is five. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, I've noticed it. I've actually done some research on that in my recent graduate studies, and what I've been able to find is that a lot of the food additives they're creating these days, in terms of flavors and even coloring, they're actually designed to trick your brain chemically so that you can't stop. Your brain will want more, even if you physically don't want any more. It sets off all these chemical reactions that we're not even aware of that are going on that make it hard to stop. That's been a deliberate move, but from in the food industry. And, you know, I think I was listening to an interesting interview on 60 Minutes, and they were talking about that, you know, it's a whole new ball game now. It's trying to get people actually, you know, physically addicted to these foods, even more so than they were just from the flavor. Now it's a chemical thing. So it's really scary. I mean, and it's, if you're somebody
yeah.
who finds it hard to eat, if you're hard to put down that bag of potato chips or Doritos, whatever it is, don't blame it on yourself as much, because it really is, it's chemical trickery.
It's designed that way.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you can't beat yourself up, you know.
It's designed that way. But, you know, there's one thing, like, for instance, okay, you may indulge in having more foods that have sugar content that you should, or foods that are higher on the glycemic index, and that just strictly means that it causes your blood sugar to rise faster than foods that, like, for instance, white rice as opposed to brown rice is, you know, brown rice, it's for instance, you have to chew brown rice much longer, and it gives you more of a filling feeling because of the fiber. What I noticed that if, for instance, I've had too much high glycemic food, I will have that taste in my mouth. It's a craving, and it's strange, but it really is a craving. And I'm like, God, I don't like that taste, that feeling. So what I'll
yeah.
do is I'll have a protein drink. But please do not load up the protein drink with fruits and sugar to make it taste better, because then you're still adding more sugar. So my protein powder that I have, it's a pea protein, and it absolutely has nothing in it. It's 100% just the pea protein. So I may just mix that with plain, you know, unsweetened almond milk. And, of course, there's no sugar in it, but it right away, it just cuts the craving, and it gives me that feeling of being satisfied. So that's one way of just tricking your brain, per se, you know,
yeah.
just to stop overeating.
Definitely.
Or
if you're a person
not necessarily overeating, yeah.
Yeah, or just reaching for
Sorry,
something
go
maybe.
Ahead.
No, yeah, it's true. I was going to say, just knowing your macronutrients, you know, protein and fat are the most satiating of all the macronutrients. So if you're somebody
right.
who's constantly not eating enough protein, constantly not getting enough healthy fats, like you mentioned avocado, then, yeah, it's possible that could be a primary cause of your food cravings, you know. So if you're somebody who's feeling like you're always hungry, or you're hungry 20 minutes after you're eating, you know, you're done eating, you're hungry again, look at these protein choices that you're making and the fat choices, because it's something that's going to keep you full longer. If the piece of fruit will, like we've talked about, go in and out of your system very quickly.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely. And I noticed this, you know, with, and I'm referring back to earlier this week, but with me having the avocado, as I mentioned to you, I was full, not over full, but I was satisfied. And this means there is no way. Well, I wouldn't have dessert anyhow, because that's, we're not supposed to, because of the food combining, I, you just don't have dessert right after a meal without allowing time for the food to, you know, digest that you've eaten. But the thing is this, that if we know how to eat, and I think that's the biggest thing, if we understand food and we understand our body's needs and how to eat, then we're able to say no to those tempting desserts. And you notice, especially when you dine out, they bring around the dessert menu, and everything on it, you're looking at it, and it's causing you, it'll literally cause your mouth to start drooling. Again, it's a psychological thing.
Have you been to the places that actually bring around the plate of dessert? They actually bring around. Yeah, so that's even worse. Like, I don't know what they're trying to do, but
it really is. And so these are things that we're trying to share with you, that, you know, you could be more aware of. And I think if you're consciously aware of what you need to do to really stay away from certain foods that are not good for you, and then not overindulge in even foods that are good for you, you know, because too much of a good thing could also be bad for you. So
definitely,
we have to do everything, as you mentioned, in balance and moderation. And then, okay, we have here some of the signs that you may be an emotional eater. Eating when you feel stressed. Eating when not hungry or even full. Again, you know, that craving, and or eating to improve the mood, just to feel better, or rewarding yourself with food. And, you know, I think as, you know, parents sometimes will do that to their children.
Mm-hmm.
They'll trick them by saying, if you eat all your vegetables, I'll give you dessert.
Right.
You know, you'll get a piece of cake. So they're just stuffing, you know, going through the motion because the mind is focused on having the dessert. And,
right.
And you know, it's a thing that, and all parents have done that, from, I'm sure, you know, from time to time, you know, you bribe your children to eat what you want them to eat by promising them a rewarding food that they're going to enjoy, such as dessert, which, you know, most kids, you know, enjoy dessert. But, you know, you may be setting them up for problems later on. Not you may. That's exactly what, you know, we do as parents, and not intentionally, but, you know, our parents may have done that. And so, you know, children grow from a very young age thinking that dessert is a rewarding food. And I think that could also contribute to the psychological need as a comfort food.
Definitely.
Right. I just thought about that. But it's true, because you're thinking of it as a reward from a child. And, you know, whatever we're programmed with, as children, we grow up, and now as adults, we believe, okay, well, dessert is actually a good thing because I've eaten all my food, so now I deserve to have something really good, like a piece of chocolate cake. And I'm telling you, the dessert items that were on that menu, and you're right, and you, when you look at even other people who are having, you know, some of the dessert, I mean, if you really need strong willpower to say no.
It's true. It's definitely true.
Yeah. And it's designed that way. It really is. And, okay, some of the other signs, Kimberly, jump right in. What are some of the other signs? Because I know we've talked about it.
Sure.
That you may be an emotional eater.
Yeah, so we talked about regularly eating. So we're talking, you know, a couple meals a day, you're eating until you're stuffed, you're overly full, you're uncomfortably full. That's not a good thing, obviously. That's a sign that you could be emotionally eating, because you're clearly not listening to your body's signals that it's full, or else you wouldn't have been eating that much. And then also feeling safe with food, feeling like you have a friendship with food. It sounds silly, but it's actually a big problem in people that are overweight. They feel this kind of emotional relationship with food. And I think it also relates to kind of what you mentioned from childhood. You know, we reach for our comfort foods, maybe foods that our moms used to make when we're feeling lonely or sad or when we're sick. And it's just this whole emotional connection with food that actually just isn't appropriate, and it can be detrimental. And finally, a feeling of powerlessness, feeling like you can't stop eating even after you're full, or feeling like you cannot stop from reaching for certain foods. You can't make a choice for a better food option. You have to get a certain food. And this all sounds very dramatic, but it actually is a very serious, you know, and common issue that, like we said, you know, we talked about kind of the food-related reasons for why somebody would want to eat more and more, like sugar and high glycemic foods. And apparently that's only accounting for a smaller fraction of why people are actually overeating. It has a lot more to do with emotions and just in general being out of touch with your physical body and letting your emotions kind of dictate what your body's doing and not even being aware of it. It's actually a bigger issue. So these are some signs that you can, if you've answered yes or no to at least, I think, probably two of these, and you can really relate to any of these signs that we mentioned, then this is something that you want to really listen up, and we're going to suggest some ways to combat these issues as well later on. But, yeah, it's a big problem, Martina.
Oh, yeah, it really is. And, you know, we've done so many shows on hormonal issues, which are in our archives, that please, as the listening audience, please avail yourself to them, because we had some really great experts, everything from bioidentical hormone experts, adrenal glands. I mean, we covered so much. We also went into covering, estrogen dominance, as well as progesterone, testosterone. So we have covered so much on hormones that you can really find great information in our archives. So, you know, just you could go to our website, which is healthyexplosionshow.com, and you can also go directly to Blog Talk Radio, and it's Healthy Explosion Show. And, of course, you know, you could just scroll through and just listen to some of the really good shows that we have had on hormonal issues and, you know, other shows that would really, really benefit you. Some of the common foods that women, I guess, typically crave, and the reason I mentioned hormones before discussing this is because I think, you know, there are certain times when, you know, again, a woman's body, and even a man, you don't really talk about it too much, men, but as we learned from, you know, the progesterone and estrogen and testosterone, that there are problems or imbalances that occur both in men and women, and we both have the same type of hormones. It's just that female and male may have more of the estrogen versus progesterone, testosterone hormones. But some of the foods that women who emotionally eat are less likely to reach for, most likely to reach for ice cream. They said, 74%, chocolate, 69%, and cookies, which is 66%. And then men are most likely to have, I guess, their number one choice would be ice cream, which I believe, I think that's correct, and 77%. And then soup number two, which is 73%, and pizza or pasta, 72%. So now just comparing both, you see where women tend to go more for the sweets, between the chocolate, ice cream, chocolate, and cookies. And men, well, ice cream is number one. Again, could be tied into the, you know, some hormonal problems that are occurring. And as I said, we've covered hormones in so many of our shows, so please listen to our archives on that. But Kimberly, what do you think the reason is?
I think this is incredibly interesting. This this particular study, we found that kind of rates the food choices. Oh, ice cream is number one for both men and women. I thought that was interesting because, at least for me, I think of ice cream and I think of my childhood. I think of getting that as a reward. We would go for ice cream after, you know, after soccer games or after some kind of event where we thought we did, you know, something good. So I'm interested to see if there's a kind of emotional connection. That's why men and women are both largely reaching for ice cream as the number one craved treat. It seems like it could make sense. And then also this study mentioned soup and pastas, which it didn't specify whole wheat or regular. I'm assuming mostly, you know, regular kind of flour pasta. But soup, people would think of as a health food. So it's really interesting that emotional eating is not limited to unhealthy food specifically. Martina, you even said, you know, too much of anything is not good. You can have too much of a good thing. And emotional eating isn't limited to health, to unhealthy foods. You can emotionally crave healthy foods, and they can still be eaten to excess, and you could still feel out of control and have all these same issues. But maybe it just doesn't seem like it's as big of a deal because you're not reaching for the chocolate and the cookies and the other things. So I just thought that was really fascinating. And knowing, you know, understanding that maybe if you're somebody who out there who also craves, you know, craves ice cream, craves chocolate, especially, like you said, hormonally around that time of the month. I know my group of friends, it's kind of an ongoing joke. I mean, if you're about to, you know, menstruate or if you're going through a certain time in your cycle, it's not uncommon to crave certain foods. It's kind of a common knowledge, I think, among women my age. So you really have to understand what's going on with your hormones, and you can kind of then understand why you might be craving certain things at certain times.
That's so true. It really is. And most people have no clue how hormones affect their overall health in every aspect of their of our lives, you know. And again, it's just having that education, knowing your body, knowing what your body is, it needs are, and also what you need to stay away from. Because just like artichoke, it's a good vegetable, but I happen to be allergic to artichoke. So it's not that it's a bad food, but it's knowing that allow me to stay away from it. And I'm also gluten intolerant, like yourself. So if I have foods that are contain a gluten, and sometimes when you eat out, you know, if it's not a gluten-free restaurant, you're going to have some contamination there. And you may end up, I know when I've had gluten, I'll get like this puffiness in my stomach and it starts griping a little. Then if I haven't had dairy, somehow, you know, because I'm also allergic to dairy. So if there's dairy or gluten, then I could tell right away, and I have to counteract it, do a little, you know, flushing of my system to get rid of that. But you know, there are people that consistently, because they don't understand what their body's needs are, they're consistently eating this and then feeling bad, and they go to the doctor, and the doctor prescribes acid reflux medication or something else, trying to suppress whatever is going on, but people, they're still eating the unhealthy foods or what they were eating. It doesn't necessarily have to be unhealthy, again, because not everyone is allergic to gluten, but you may be eating something that's really detrimental to your health, and not knowing that and continuing can really cause long-term harm. It could be even fatal. So that's why it's so important to understand. Now, I'm looking here, and they're saying that some of the most common causes of emotional eating, stress, anxiety, sadness, boredom, anger, loneliness, relationship problems, poor self-esteem. They said all of these may lead to emotional eating. And Kimberly, this was also the topics that were mentioned when there's hormonal imbalances. Isn't that interesting?
It is so interesting. I think it's completely connected. I mean, you know, I personally believe everything in the body is connected, and if something's out of balance, it shows other things are out of balance as well. But like you said, your hormones obviously tie in with your emotions, and if we're finding 75% of overeating is due to emotional imbalance, it's likely, you know, it's a hormonal issue. So like you said, if you're somebody who's having stress, anxiety, sadness and anger and loneliness, all these things, it's something you want to certainly look at. And the food could be just be making the hormonal problem worse, and then it just becomes this vicious cycle of eating the wrong things, hormones get worse, hormones are out of whack, make you eat the wrong things. It's a vicious cycle. You want to try and,
yeah,
if you feel like you don't understand maybe what you're allergic to, I know I've gotten myself tested. I got a blood test for long-term sensitivities of different foods. I found out I was allergic to foods that are healthy, that I was eating previously, that I thought were great. Like you, for example, artichokes, you, same thing for me. And I then cut out foods that I was eating as part of a healthy eating plan previously that I can no longer really have every day. So getting that knowledge, I think, is also a huge tool kind of in your tool belt in combating emotional eating and hormonal issues from foods that you're eating.
That's so true. And the thing is this now that it's sad to say, but sometimes the testing that's needed, you know, the metabolic testing, insurance companies are just not going to cover. So
right.
You may go to your traditional doctor, and very few physicians, unless they specialize in hormones, understand how hormones affect the body and
mm-hmm.
how imbalances, what it can cause, you know, so many different types of physical ailments, even diseases, long-term diseases, everything from brain all the way down, brain, digestive, everything. So the sad thing is that those metabolic testing, usually people have to, you know, pay out of pocket for that.
Right.
And, you know, with people trying to cut costs and save money, it makes it a little difficult.
Definitely.
But that's basically what you need. It's like you want to start a journey. Oh, great idea. Just thought about this. You know, when you're going on a road trip, you make sure you check your tires, make sure that you know there's enough air. You also want to give your car, if you're driving, a tune-up. Because
mm-hmm.
why? You want to make sure that it's going to endure the journey. You don't want to go halfway through and then break down. You want
right.
to make sure, and usually, you know, especially, okay, if it's a very short trip, then it may not go through all of that. But if it's a long trip, then you want to make sure that you have a first aid kit. You know, make sure that you covered all the bases. Because you want to make sure if anything happens along the way that you're covered. And you know, you have the tools that you need. Well, it's the same thing with our bodies. You know, the
mm-hmm.
long trip is actually life, and you want to start out knowing what's wrong, making sure we equip ourselves with the tools that we're going to need for the journey, because life is a journey, and whether you travel it well depends on the preparation, and the preparation starts with a good foundation. And a good foundation is knowing what's under the foundation, how it's built, so that you can then
mm-hmm.
Give it the proper things that it needs, which happens to be food and nutrients and whatever else is needed in order to have a good journey through life. And that just came up, but I think it was a great analogy.
Yeah, that's a great point. That was very well said.
Thank you. But it really is. Life is a journey, and that's what happens. So we want to make sure, and you know, we do so much for our cars, our homes. We go and we get our nails done, you know, pedicure, manicure.
Mm-hmm.
We buy new dresses, new suits, and we spend so much on things that, well, all of that is great, but the most important thing, again, you know, oh, again, with the vehicle. If you went out and bought a fabulous wardrobe, all the trimmings, right? And then set out on your journey, but you haven't made the preparations, such as making sure that there's enough air in your tires, if the threads are worn down, you replace them, get an oil change, make sure you check under the hood, make sure everything is, and I'm not saying that you're capable of checking on the hood, but you take it to the mechanic to make sure that everything is in place for the journey. Well, it's the same thing. Again, you can't just go out and spend the money that you would normally spend to repair and fix the car and prepare it for the long journey. You don't want to spend that on clothes or things that it's not going to help or maintain the you through the journey, right?
Exactly.
Wow, that's good. I should have that. That's good. But that's exactly how we should think about our body. It's a journey, and we want to live it well. Just as your health is your wealth, live it well. Diamonds and pearls and ruby and furs and all of those trappings, and I say trappings because it's a trapping because having that and you're still dying inside. So we want to make sure we have good, solid foundation. Okay. All right. That just came out. Sorry.
No, that was great.
Yeah. That's a good analogy. It's true, though. Especially, you know, I think overall men are much more car, I don't want to say fanatic, that's too rough. But, you know, really, you know, they pamper their vehicles, you know. As soon as the weather gets a little warm, you know, you'll see people hand-washing their cars and they're shining it up and they'll take it for a tune-up. You know, want to make sure the vehicle is running fine. Well, it's the same thing we should be doing with our bodies.
Exactly. Definitely.
The same thing we should be doing with our bodies. Determining what real hunger and what's emotional hunger. Kimberly, how would we do that?
Okay, so this is a great point I found because I think that it's a big tool, I guess, in determining whether maybe this is emotional hunger, obviously physical hunger, but if you're an emotional eater, if your hunger is constantly looking like any of these six traits that I'm going to list off now, then this is also a sign that you could be dealing with emotional and hormonal issues causing you to overeat. So emotional hunger, it comes on very suddenly. For example, I think the dessert example that you gave is great. You're full, you just had a satisfying meal, and then you see the dessert menu, and suddenly you're hungry again. That's emotional hunger. Physical hunger has been proven, you know, it comes on gradually. You start to feel a little hungry, then maybe, you know, a couple minutes later, your stomach may start to growl, but it's not this sudden urgency that we find when it's an emotional hunger. So that's one. Two is you're craving specific comfort foods. I think, you know, that's pretty self-explanatory. Third is it leads to mindless eating. The bag of chips is a perfect example. I mean, if you've gone to any party where there's a bowl of chips or pretzels or what have you on the table, and you have one, and then next thing you know, you look at the bowl, and it's empty, and you're like, was that? Did I do that? You kind of lose this mindfulness of what's actually being put in your body. You're just talking and you're eating and that's it. You don't know what's going on. So that's obviously emotional eating. That's not a physical need that you're fulfilling. A fourth sign would be you're not satisfied until you're very full. And I think that this is something that maybe isn't as obvious. A lot of people feel like, oh, I don't get a chance to eat that often. So I'm having lunch now. I'm not going to have dinner for a long time. I better stuff myself now, and it'll help me get through the rest of the day. But actually, when you overeat, it's been proven, when you overeat at a specific meal, it's been proven that you're more likely to be probably hungrier sooner than later because
now your body's had this overfull feeling, and it's then going on empty, and it's like, whoa, we just had all this food. We should eat again, you know? Like, your body doesn't understand why you're overeating. It just wants to keep eating. It just thinks you're trying to go into survival mode, pretty much. That's emotional eating. Fifth one, it doesn't originate from the stomach. This one I found interesting. Emotional hunger, it can originate from your mindset. Like we said, if you're stressed, if you're tired, if you have some kind of physical pain and a way for you to kind of take your mind off things is eating, this could be an example of how emotional hunger doesn't originate from like a hunger pain that would come from your stomach as it would typically with physical hunger. And a sixth trait, the final trait, is it often results in guilt, regret, or shame. And I think this is a really big issue, and people kind of don't want to admit maybe they have this issue because obesity is seen, you know, as very socially problematic. It's, you know, I think I read a study once actually sadly proved that people who are overweight in today's society are looked down upon even more so sometimes than drug addicts and alcoholics. Obesity is something that it's not glorified, obviously, and it's a problem, but it's really, really shunned within society, and obese people are less likely to get jobs, they're less likely to be seen as intelligent, and this has all been proven. So if you're an emotional eater and you're somebody who's battling with weight, you often will feel guilt, regret, or shame as a result from your food choices, and that is obviously from emotional food choice. It's rare that you're going to feel, unless you happen to be in, you know, an eating disorder or something like that, it's rare that you're going to feel guilty and shameful from after eating a healthy meal, and especially like a meal that you prepared for yourself, for example. That's not as common. So just being aware of these six traits is huge in determining whether this affects you. And then also, I think, it's stopping the cycle. If you can know that emotional hunger has to do with hunger coming on suddenly, and all of a sudden your hunger is coming on suddenly now, you can tell yourself, I understand that this is emotional eating now. I'm not going to give in right away. I'll wait a couple minutes. Maybe I'll have a little protein. Maybe I'll have some water. And if I'm still hungry, okay, then I'll reach for something healthy. But I understand now that emotional hunger comes on suddenly, and then you now have the tool to combat that. So knowledge really is power here.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It really is. And it's important to really, you know, no matter what age you are, what your what the condition of your body, you want to make sure you give it a tune-up. Know if there are any underlying things that could pop up later on. Again, looking under the foundation, you know, make sure that the foundation is solid. And in order to do that, you got to test, just like you would take your car, your truck to the mechanic and have them check to see if there are any hidden things that would cause problems later on, because you don't want to be hit with a huge repair bill. Well, it's the same thing. The only difference is it's our bodies. And so it's while the analogy is it's the same in theory, in actuality, you know, the thing is you can replace a car if it breaks. When we break, or we can't really replace ourselves, you know. So we
no.
only have... We may be able to switch out some body parts, but guess what? Those are aftermarket parts. Why am I talking about vehicles so much? My goodness. Those are aftermarket parts. And you know, the aftermarket parts are never as good as the original. And I'm not even a mechanic. Okay. But aftermarket parts. You know, it wasn't original by the designer. The designer, you know, whoever the manufacturer was, you know, it's like you own one of the most expensive cars out here. A Rolls Royce. Okay. You own a Rolls Royce, and if you own a Rolls Royce, then you need pretty, you don't really see Rolls Royce just breaking down because they know how expensive it is to repair them. So they normally send them for monthly or whatever it is, maintenance, correct? Because they know the repair bill they're going to get hit with. Well, it's the same thing. You know, if we do the due diligence early enough and make sure that we dot all our I's and cross all our T's, I'm not saying that things won't happen, but at least you'll be prepared because there will be some warning signals rather than some people never get a warning signal. They're 6 feet under now. You know, children running on a playground, they're playing football. Next thing, they die from a heart attack.
Right.
We need to do the due diligence the same way we do due diligence for other things or professional life, whatever it is that we're doing. Well, we need to do the due diligence where our health is concerned. And I think if there's anything that you take away today from this show is the fact that you need to start doing the due diligence where your health is concerned because your health is your wealth.
Mm-hmm.
Trust me, if you are sick, it's going to cost you a lot more. It's a lot easier to do the due diligence and make sure that you're aware of what's going on in your body. And by, you know, once you start doing that, it changes your entire perspective. People will say, "Well, how can you do this? I lost almost 125 pounds. I didn't do it overnight, and keeping it off and living a healthy lifestyle, it takes work, it takes discipline. But guess what? I've been there. I've been sick, and I like being healthy better. So I want to do what's necessary. That's bottom line. So, you know, it's just like, okay, if I'm used to eating a certain way and I had this, you know, a few food items that was a little more sugar or sugar that I am not used to having anymore, and I could feel the difference in my body. Now, if I give in to that and continue, guess what? I'm on a road back where I don't want to go. So I know that, number one, you know, I have to continue on that path that I've set for myself, which is a healthy eating path, and I don't want to deviate. I want to make sure because I know that it's easy to go along and follow bad habits, and one day you look up and you wonder, how did you get there? But it's been a gradual progression because you never get there overnight. It's a continual, you know, process. And once you get to that point where you look at yourself, all the body parts are starting to break. Things are falling out that shouldn't be. And it's just like with the car again. And I keep mentioning this car. You know, the car, okay, you never take it for maintenance, but you always take it to get it detailed. And then one day you have this beautiful, beautiful, another pretty car, a Jack. Okay. Now, you have this beautiful Jaguar. Everybody's looking at it on the road as you drive by. Wow, this is really nice. Look how it's shining. You can see your face through it. And all of a sudden, you go down the road 2 miles, and the people are passing by in the less expensive vehicle. And all of a sudden, your hood is overheating, and your car breaks down. But it looks great on the outside.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It begins from the inside.
You have to take care of the inside, exactly.
You got to take care of the inside. You really, really do. And I think when we become more focused on self, and I want to throw this out because I know we're getting close to the end. This was really a good topic, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah.
But I know
it's been
that
great.
It really, really has been. But sometimes it's not what you're eating, but what's eating you. And that's where the emotional issues come in. Because, you know, there are times when people just want to suppress. I don't believe people just decide, okay, I'm going to become an alcoholic or I'm going to become a drug
right.
addict. It's usually they're trying, there are situations in life that they haven't dealt with that now they're just constantly trying to block out. But now the body has become so accustomed to getting fed the poison, whether it be even cigarette smoke, all of these things are attributed to something that's not right within the body or in the mind, because, you know, it's mind, body, and spirit. And if one of those areas are out of balance, then you're going to have problems. So,
right.
it, you know, it's not always, you know, people are eating. You got to find out what's at the root. Again, going back onto the foundation, finding out where you are, what's wrong, and dealing with it so that you can start to clean it up, get rid of the baggage, and move forward. It all ties in together. But this was good. This was good. It was, you know, good show. Good topic. I really believe that people are going to start making changes. I'm praying for that because, my God, if we don't really seriously make a dent in diabetes and obesity and cancers and heart disease, we're going to become extinct, and we can't do that. We can't allow that. So, you know, life can be beautiful, but it's a lot better when you're traveling on a healthy road.
Mm-hmm.
Anything you'd like to add? I was just going. Anything you'd like to add?
I agree that this has been a great topic, and I really just hope anybody listening, you know, and if you feel like somebody you know could benefit from this show, definitely, you could be doing them a favor by just passing some of this information on, because like we said, knowledge is power, and understanding what's going on with your body, you know, that's key in combating this. You know, it's just these are tools that we've given, you know, and use them appropriately. Like if you're somebody who like, can identify with any of the, you know, a couple of the traits that we mentioned, to really take a look at your life and see if this is the way you want to go and where do you place your priorities too. It's like you said with the car, it's a perfect metaphor. You know, your life should, your health rather, should be your priority. Your health is your wealth, like we say in the show all the time, but it is true. And, you know, I just worry that as a, even just traveling, Martina and I have both been traveling internationally this month. As a country, this is a national issue, and with, you know, over 50% of Americans overweight these days, you know, spread the word about what you've heard here today, because knowledge is power, like I keep saying, and it's something that we don't like to talk about. People, I feel like they kind of shy away from the subject of obesity. It's kind of like apropos to talk about it. You don't want to offend anyone, but at the same time, we're not getting any healthier. We seem to just be getting sicker. So it's time to kind of face some music, start talking about these things, and spread the awareness around.
That's so true. That's so true. Now, for our listeners in the London area, I just want to let you know that there's going to be a free holistic seminar. So if you or someone you know is struggling with losing weight, stress, hormonal problems, diabetes, obesity, or just want to improve your health, then this seminar is for you. It's on Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, May 22nd, from 6 to 8. And if you visit healthyexplosion.com website or .net, you will see information, a link to the page, but it's located in London at the Caribou Education Center, London Southwest 9. So for additional information, just visit healthyexplosion.com. Kimberly, this has been an awesome show. Thank you for joining me today. We thank our audience for joining us today. This is so good. I forgot to play our halftime infomercial. Have a wonderful, wonderful weekend, and until next time, next Saturday, everyone, just really have a great, great, great week. Kimberly, are you still?
Thank you for tuning into the Healthy Explosion Show, your best source for holistic health. Join us on Saturdays live at 10 a.m. on Blog Talk Radio. Visit HealthyExplosionShow.com for information about the show, listen to archive shows, read our online newsletter, visit the Marketplace section for holistic products and services, and advertise your products and services. Don't forget to follow Healthy Explosion Show on Twitter and Facebook. Those are successful.